Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting next to a slightly under the weather Wes Hodkiewicz. We'll have to fight to get through the show here today with Wes. But Wes, we heard on Tuesday from quarterback Aaron Rodgers at his locker, and fans debate this question a lot of times. You know, how much does the starting quarterback need to play in the preseason? Aaron Rodgers did not play against the Philadelphia Eagles. We don't know if he's going to play. He doesn't know at this point if he's going to play against the Washington Redskins on Saturday night or not. But whatever his preseason workload ends up being, his message was that he's really not concerned about it. He'll do whatever it is that Mike McCarthy feels is necessary, what he feels he needs to do, and that's all the farther he takes it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mike, I am a gamer. I'm going to get through this.
All right.
We're going to be able to get through a solid show here. The thing that it's different. I struggle with this narrative a lot, probably more than any other narrative that creeps up during the preseason, because I think people kind of, they sort of gerrymander the argument a little bit. When things are going wrong, well, then they use specific examples, and when things are going right, no one really talks about it. Aaron Rodgers was, I think, 11 touchdowns, zero interceptions through the first three or four games in 2015. The Packers got off to a 6-0 start. I think he played in two preseason games, like maybe somewhere around 23 or 24 snaps between those games.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, in 2015 he played all these snaps and it's what got him ready. No. I mean, it's the workload in practice. It's getting to know his young receivers. It's getting to know Martellus Bennett. And I thought Bennett had a comment that really hit it right on the head, in that it doesn't matter, games, practice, whatever it is, he just needs work with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
He needs those opportunities. All these guys need those opportunities. And with how vanilla the preseason can be at times, and not to say that there isn't a point to watch the game. There's guys vying for jobs. There's things that are being situated and figured out. But when it comes to a guy that's a 13-year pro now, a 10-year starter, I don't think there's any correlation whatsoever between a fast start, slow start, what have you, and playing in the preseason.
I agree. I don't think there is either. And I'm one who is probably as ultra conservative in this aspect in terms of how much do you play your starters in the preseason. You know, we saw the Packers lose Jordy Nelson for the season to a non-contact injury in a preseason game 2 years ago. This year, we've already seen the Detroit Lions, an NFC North opponent, lose a key pass rusher, one of the top pass rushers on your defensive line, Kerry Hyder, is out for the year with a torn Achilles. Now, those are the extreme examples, but and you know there is that risk, and it's a risk that to me it's so hard to swallow when it goes wrong, when something happens in a meaningless game in terms of the win-loss column.
Well, even look at like Demaryius Randall, sustaining the concussion against the Eagles. You know, Joe Witt Jr., the Packers cornerbacks coach, was asked about that, and you know if there was anything Randall could have done or should have done, you know, keeping his head on a swivel. And Witt said no. I mean, he did everything he should do in that specific instance. They talked about it. And the play happened. Those are the plays you need to eliminate. Again, that's an extreme example, but there is always that chance, and there's always bad fortune that sometimes befalls guys during the preseason. So being mindful of, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, Aaron Ripkowski even to some extent. I mean, guys that you know you're going to need over the long haul, I don't see anything wrong with that. And let's be honest too, Mike, if you look at it just from a practice perspective, you've been watching Aaron Rodgers every year. He's been a starter here in Green Bay. I don't really see like a drop off in how many snaps he's taking, how much work he's getting during practice. I mean,
right.
He's out there as much as anybody. So to say, well, yeah, you have these hundreds of snaps, these hundreds of reps that you do in training camp, and that all is secondary to the dozen or so snaps you take in a preseason game, I just don't see the correlation.
Yeah, and you mentioned the workload that Rodgers is getting in practice, and you brought up the term vanilla in terms of the way schemes are and whatnot in these preseason games, and Rodgers pointed exactly to that. For him, it is all about the practice reps. When he's going against the scout team and whatnot in practice, they're showing him every look that opposing defense, whatever they've scouted, that he might see in a game. You know, multiple coverages, different blitzes from different angles, all sorts of different alignments. He mentioned the Eagles in the preseason game last Thursday night. They brought two blitzes the entire game. The Packers had, I believe it was around 40 drop back passes, 36 pass attempts and four scrambles. 40 drop back passes and two blitzes. And Rodgers flat out said, that's not realistic. That's not an actual game plan. And a guy like him, a decade in as a starter, as you said, he's not going to get anything in terms of preparation out of taking those sorts of snaps. So he focuses on the practice reps and whatever the head coach wants him to do in the preseason, that's what he'll do.
Yeah, and this is going to sound, you're going to laugh at this, but Madden football, when I was a kid, you could progress players during the preseason, but always the guys that were the 8-9 year guys, they never progressed during the preseason. It was always the first and second year players. So, I mean, that's another thing to keep in mind is that it's a joke and it's a game, but at the same time, it is the preseason. This is where I want to see Reggie Gilbert step up. This is where you want to see progress from Kyler Fackrell. You want to see the young receivers step up.
Yeah.
There's nothing Aaron Rodgers could show me in a preseason game that we haven't already learned. So whatever happens in Seattle in week one, I don't think that's going to have any impact whatsoever on how many snaps he played or didn't play during the preseason.
Yeah, I would agree with you. With that, Wes, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. Wes, Mike McCarthy made no bones about what he believes should be the primary focuses, foci. I'm not sure what
the grammatical word is there.
For this second week of preseason action. And in his mind, it's two of the main fundamentals of the game, tackling and ball security. Wasn't happy with the tackling on defense. Wasn't happy that the offense didn't break enough tackles. Really liked the way the defense took the ball away and got the ball out from the Philadelphia Eagles, but did not like the way the offense protected the ball on their end of things. So those are the things that that the head coach has his eye on here heading into this game against the Redskins.
Yeah, I think to some extent you expect those things this time of the year. Dom Capers, Packers defensive coordinator, was asked about this later in the day. On Tuesday, and the big thing he said is he did count 16 missed tackles the defense had, which is more than obviously that they're looking for in these contests. But at the same time, there is an understanding that it is the first preseason game. He expects them to see progress from that perspective going into Washington this week. Edgar Bennett, on the opposite side of things, expects to see things cleaned up, you know, with the fundamentals on their side of things and protecting the football. That's the game you play. Now, you know, Darren Perry, the Packers safeties coach who played for Capers way back in the 90s, he was asked about this too, and, you know, how much more they tackled back during his days. And he said it really wasn't so much tackling to the ground. It was a lot of the thud, you know, kind of, you know, simulating everything up to putting the guy on the ground.
Right.
So it is interesting because a lot of people blame the CBA for this, and I'm sure to some extent you can make that case just based on how much time guys can be out on the field. But at the same time, I just think there is something about getting out there for the first game, trying to shore those things up and trying to find your way forwards, because it's been a while. And for a lot of these guys, it's the first time they've had pads on in a competitive atmosphere since last January. So
yeah,
goes with the territory.
Yeah, I think it is. I think there is a lot of the CBA maybe that is a factor here, because, I mean, back when I started covering this team in this position in 2006, Mike McCarthy's first year, there were still two-a-days, you know, two or three times a week and all that through training camp. We just watched a first preseason game where the Packers, I believe, had 10, maybe 11 practices before that first preseason game. Used to be almost double that before the first preseason game. Just in terms of the reps that players got on the practice field, even if there wasn't live tackling necessarily. But they also would a lot of times have at least one live tackling in a scrimmage, you know, when family night used to be a scrimmage and whatnot. So a lot of things have been scaled back, and that first preseason game, you know, quite frankly, can get to be a little sloppy, and I think that's a part of what we saw on Thursday night.
Yeah, and we were talking in the last segment about Aaron Rodgers and the fact that he doesn't need these kind of reps. But, you know, the fact of the matter is these younger linebackers, younger safeties, defensive backs, getting their first taste of this thing, or their second or third, I think it does have a really big, plays a big role in what they've done. The one thing I do want to point out, it's not like everything was lost in that game against the Eagles. I thought you saw a guy like Kevin King really step up in some big situations and one-on-one opportunities, and actually one of his stops ended up on a one-yard gain, ended up setting the table for Blake Martinez forcing that fumble,
right?
Which then in turn led to a turnover for Christian Ringo. So I think there were positives to draw out of that, but it's just on a consistent down and down in basis. When a guy, the first hat that's on the ball, you want to see them at the very least stop the momentum, and then if they need to gang tackle, the pursuit and finish that the Packers preach from there, that's the next step. But whatever you do, over pursuing those kind of things, those are the kinks that have to be worked out now in these next 3 weeks, because when it comes to Seattle, when it comes to Atlanta, some of these backs they're going to be seeing, you just can't have that.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear any excuses about not enough practice time or not enough preseason reps when it comes to week one against the Seahawks, week two against the Falcons. Two big games that, as we've talked about before, could have some impact on where some games in January are played in terms of location and whatnot. A long way to go until we get to then, but fans a lot of times they get frustrated hearing coaches talk about, fundamentals. We have to harp on fundamentals, and they say, well, these guys are professional football players. Like, they should know the fundamentals. You shouldn't have to work on that. You always have to work on the fundamentals. How often have we seen in Major League Baseball, guys don't even know how to bunt anymore.
Right.
Guys can't get down a sacrifice bunt. Why? Because they don't practice it.
Right.
You have to focus on these things. The things that you do from a little kid when you start playing the game, you still have to do them when you're a grown man playing the game professionally, because it's not always just about muscle memory. You can't just flip a switch and be the same guy that you were last January, when August and September roll around.
Yeah, and use whatever analogy you want, Mike, golf, whatever, in terms of how you get into a rhythm with that thing. The thing that stands out to me, I'm watching Hard Knocks again this season, this year with the Buccaneers, and Gerald McCoy had such an interesting thought, because a part of this episode focused in on him and how quick he is off the ball, his first step, and how he's able to a lot of times get past the guard even before the play starts, in a proverbial sense, not literally, but getting that first step on him.
Yeah.
And he said that stuff doesn't just happen. That's repetition. When you see them hitting bags, when you see them hitting the dummy, that's what they have to do to be able to ensure that they keep that up. And now for the Packers, everybody else in the league, these next 3 weeks that's left of preseason and training camp, that's where you are at in terms of trying to make sure that when it does come to week one, those things get taken care of, get cleaned up, and you're putting your best foot forward.
Yeah, no question about it. With that, we're going to go to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford next to Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we hear a lot, sort of off the field, whatnot, even in the media, the talk about just where is the inside linebacker position headed in the NFL. We have these hybrid safeties and whatnot coming down and playing in the box. Teams don't run the ball flat out unless you have the top running backs like the Ezekiel Elliotts of the world and the Dallas Cowboys. Teams don't run the ball as much as they used to. So there are all these questions about just how valuable is the inside linebacker. The Packers like what they have at inside linebacker. Now, they haven't drafted a first-round pick at that spot or anything like that, but they've assembled a kind of a core stable of guys that all bring a little something different to the table. And they like what they have, the way they can mix and match these guys in different packages.
Yeah, I wrote about this for our website this week, and one of the things, I didn't really say it so much, but one of the points I was trying to make with the article is just how much communication is factoring into what they're doing defensively now. Not only just communication among position groups, but now intermingling some of those too, like the safeties and the inside backers, and trying to make sure that all those guys are clicking, the across the hallway meetings that the Packers always talk about. And the Packers' perspective right now, inside backer, as you said, they've used middle round picks on that position, Jake Ryan, Blake Martinez. You have a guy like Joe Thomas step up now, former undrafted free agent who's now been that dime linebacker. He works in the nickel nitro package with Morgan Burnett. And now Jordan Tripp as well coming in. This position still has a place in the NFL, and it certainly has a place in what the Packers are trying to do defensively, because as you said, when you do end up getting Zeke Elliott or some of these top-notch running backs on the schedule, you need to have guys who can step up. And how many times, Mike, have you and I pointed out that game last year against DeMarco Murray and the Titans where Jake Ryan goes out, they have some injuries, bubble up to the surface at inside linebacker, in the issues that they had in the middle of the defense. So the one thing I thought was really interesting, Blake Martinez said recently, it is on the group, though, still. They need to make sure that they can prove that and earn that trust and reliability that they can be three-down players. They understand where things are going. They understand that the Morgan Burnett, Josh Jones-type defenders are becoming more prevalent in the trenches. But at the same time, they still need to be there in terms of the inside linebackers and still showing what they can do and add to a defense.
Yeah, I think what I like about this core four the Packers have right now at the position, Thomas, Martinez, Ryan, and Tripp, and you can put them in whatever order you want. I kind of see a really strong quality of each guy. Like, I really like Jake Ryan against the run, just as a pure run defender. I've seen Blake Martinez in this training camp, I think, improve his pass coverage down the middle of the field. He definitely looks swifter and doesn't look quite as shaky, I guess, as maybe a rookie would. Joe Thomas, I like the way the guy hits. I like his athleticism. And then Jordan Tripp. Now, all these guys have something that they bring to the table on special teams, but I think Jordan Tripp is a veteran special teams guy in terms of what he brings to those units. Now, it'd be great if you could package all of that into one player, but that's when you draft a first-round pick, and the Packers haven't used a first-round pick at that position. So they've assembled what they can while using those higher draft resources in other areas. And, we'll see how the roster shakes out with the final decisions. But the Packers, they don't have a superstar at that position. Don't get me wrong here, but they like what they have.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, Mike. It's not just the Packers. The NFL in general is being a lot more cautious with how they're approaching inside backers these days. I mean, you're still going to have some of these guys going in the first round, these Ryan Shazier's over the last few years. But at the same time, I mean, teams are being more cognizant that they need the Duan Buchanans of the world, those type of players that can play in there and offer you something on third downs as a pass, covering type hybrid player.
Right.
But for the Packers' perspective, as you said, I think Joe Thomas has been a great find for them in that way. He had a big interception in that game against the Eagles, returned it for 30 yards, a gritty, tough player, comes through the FCS route. I mean, just really humble beginnings for him to become the player that he's been today. And as you also said, all four of those guys contribute on special teams. That's the body type. That's the blueprint the Packers like in those type of players. So I don't know what the snaps are going to divvy out this season. I don't know how they're going to go about figuring out whether or not to use Burnett, Jones, or these inside backers in different situations. But these players are still going to be active on game days, and they're still going to be seeing snaps on both defense and special teams going forward.
Yeah, I agree with you, definitely. But before we go to a break, Wes, let's take care of a little sponsor business here. Today's a perfect day to fill up with some new Campbell's Chunky Max soup. Chunky Max is loaded with more meat than you can handle, a lot more. We're talking 40% more than a comparable chunky soup. So go on, fill up with new Campbell's Chunky Max soup. Campbell's Chunky Soup, the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, before we go, we talked a lot about the inside linebackers in the last segment. Switching to outside linebackers, you brought up a couple of names earlier, Kyler Fackrell, Reggie Gilbert, two young guys that we're definitely keeping an eye on here through training camp in the preseason. But there's another guy, and I guess he falls into the tweener category in terms of being a veteran guy, but yet a still young, developing player, and that's Jayrone Elliott. He's a guy sort of, I guess you'd maybe say right now, the first in line after Nick Perry and Clay Matthews at outside linebacker, but a guy the Packers are potentially going to be counting on quite a bit here in 2017.
Yeah, I thought associate head coach and linebackers coach Winston Moss had a really interesting quote about this when he was asked about Jayrone and his path in this defense the last few years, because he has been a stalwart on special teams. He's been one of their leading tacklers over the last three seasons in that capacity. But
definitely
on defense, he's always had these moments, these flashes, but he hasn't consistently, been in there down after down. Well, now this year, without Julius Peppers and Dayton Jones, and now Vince Beagle dealing with the foot issue that he has, Jayrone Elliott's in a position to really potentially take on a lot more work this year. And what Moss kind of said, he sort of likened it a little bit to Nick Perry. Nick Perry last year, before he became the 11-sack player that he is, he was actually, a guy that was sort of behind a little bit in terms of working behind Julius Peppers and Mike Neal at times. And then finally, when he got that chance to be a full-fledged starter and his health, you know, cooperated with him, became a dynamic player in this defense. That's not to say that's what the Packers are looking for specifically out of Elliott this year, but Moss said, you know he's going to play more this year. They're expecting him to play more this year, and he's fully convinced that he's going to be able to take advantage of it.
Yeah, he won't be a starter in the old-fashioned, you know, pure sense of the word. But I expect him to play a lot as well. And when you bring up the kind of the development of Nick Perry and watching Perry from when he arrived in 2012 as a first-round pick, and I know he had a lot of injuries and whatnot to deal with along the way, but early on, those first couple years, Nick Perry to me looked like a guy who could set the edge against the run and he could bull rush. His go-to move on the rush was the bull rush. You watch Nick Perry now, there's so much more to his game than what he had early on. I'm interested to see now, as Jayrone Elliott gets more snaps, how much more is there to his game? Because when he had that big preseason as an undrafted rookie out of Toledo, that you know, five-sack preseason, I think it was, that landed him on the roster, kind of a surprise spot on the roster there, it was about speed. It was about that speed off the edge. And he has that. He has that length. He has the build to bend and get around the corner. So now what else is in his game? And I think he's going to get the opportunity to show it.
Yeah, and I think his biggest game, too, I think that was against Seattle and was at 14, where he really shined, where he had like three sacks.
2015,
I think it was. 2015, yeah, where he had like three sacks or whatever it was in that contest. He's had those moments. So now it's about, you know, being able to stretch those along. The thing I find that's interesting, I know a lot of people are questioning the depth at that position, but the Packers have actually been in a really good position from a luxury perspective the last few years with how deep they've been. You go back to 2010 to 2013, though, they were running with a lot of undrafted players. So to be in a spot now where you have Matthews, Perry, you have Elliott, and two draft picks in Fackrell and Beagle, that's setting up to be a pretty good group, I think. You just have to be able to see it and get those guys on the field contributing.
Yeah, and we've seen Vince Beagle doing a little bit of his rehab work out on the practice field, so maybe a sign that that he's close to returning. But with that, we're going to call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.